This is The Producers, a podcast. The biggest names in audio production, station sound, radio imaging, branding, and voiceover. Interviews, tips, tricks, advice. To be a part of the show, visit RyanOnTheRadio.com. Now, The Producers with Ryan Dreen.
Hey, welcome to it, Producers Podcast, episode a billion. I forget what the number is. But anyway, the most important part is I'm featuring Matt Nikolic, one of my favorite producers. I was going to say Australian producers, but really he's just one of my favorites in general. Does some really quality, creative, but big work. I like when production just feels big, not too hypey, which obviously has its place in some genres and some parts, but just really big and, like I said, quality work. So Matt will be featured at this episode coming up in minutes. It's a two-parter, FYI. In the second part, I've pretty much done this with especially most of the producer types, but we get a lot more into the tools and the specifics of his day job. So if you're interested more in the techie stuff, more of the geeky stuff, that'll be featured mostly in part two. But anyway, it is a two-parter. If you want to hit him up on Twitter, I did find out his Twitter at the very end of the episode, but just in case you want to get over there and do something now, he's at Uncle Blacko, and that's Uncle Blacko, one word, obviously. You can also check out the show notes page for Nikolic at RyanOnTheRadio.com. And there's some really cool studio photos, some screen grabs, and some extra long-form audio that you can check out later. I did feature some of the audio in the podcast, a few different things. But anyway, there's even more of it on the show notes page, so check that out. Now, a couple things I want to point out. If you are interested in getting a in-the-studio post, I would love to have you on the website. I've actually had quite a few of those come in recently. It's just a fun little place, a short way to see, you know, connect with the other types of people, whether they be voice talents or producers out there, kind of check out what their studio's like, what they've got to work with, and hear a little bit of their work. So not a full-blown podcast episode. Won't take quite as much of your time. Doesn't take quite as much of my time either. But I do, you know, one of the main goals of this is to get as many different people connected with each other in as many different parts of the world. So that's one way I'm doing that. Also, another one that I'm putting a little more effort into is my 9.5 questions segment, which is very creative, as I've been reading All Access for years. My good friends over there have been doing 10 questions for quite a long time, so I figured maybe to pay a little homage to them, I would do 9.5 questions. It's really 9 question and then a bonus jackass question that I come up with. Anyway, a few of those are going to hit the site in the next week or two. I'm saying this, it's July 10th, so in the next week or two, we're going to hear one that I'm pretty excited to post because he's been around the community for a little while. He's very young, Gavin Bruder, if you are aware of him. You'll know he's pretty talented, and he's very young, but he got his very first full-time gig in radio. I'm excited for him. He deserves it. But I wanted to get the perspective. You know, a lot of times I'm talking to people that have been doing this for 10, 15, 20, 30 years, and I thought it'd be interesting to get the perspective of someone who is just getting started with, you know, the first full-time gig. But like I said, he's very talented. You'll hear it in his work. You'll see it in his answers to 9.5 questions. And a few more of those coming your way on the website. So if you want to subscribe to the blog, it'd be awesome. There's a link right there on the front page to do so. And otherwise, you can just read the blog posts on the website, too. That's one way to do it. And that should be it. Oh, upcoming podcast episodes. Actually, you know what? I'll do that at the end of part two. I'll kind of preview what's coming up. I did want to mention, though, if you like free audio, I have my new service. I'm working with TM Studios in Dallas via Dial Global. And we just launched the brand new, pretty massive country imaging service. I'm all excited about it, of course. I think I posted a blog or two about it. 360 Country is the name. If you want to go to the website, I'll have a link on my site, but it's 360.tmstudios.com. That'll take you right to it. And the reason I'm saying this primarily, if you're in a country station and you're looking for an imaging service, obviously I would love you to check it out. But there is a whole big zip full of free files that you can check out. All you have to do is fill out a little three-part form. I think we pretty much want your name, your email, and your station or the group that you're with. And that's it. You can download the zip file. It's got sound effects, music beds, some shells you can work with, custom music that we made that I recorded in Nashville. It's all totally free and clear as far as what's in that zip file. You can use it for whatever the heck you want. It's really quality stuff. I spent a lot of time putting together a pretty awesome team. Great imaging service, so I hope you at least check it out. And like I said, if you're at a country station, email me, 360@tmstudios.com is how you can get in touch with us about that immediately. That email will come directly to me. Of course, you can also just contact me through my website or my Gmail or any of the other ways we contact each other in this world. That's it now. We'll get right into it. Matt Nikolic is the guest, straight out of Melbourne, Australia. And we start with a pretty epic promo on Fox.
The biggest event in Melbourne radio history is underway. And there's a million reasons why you need to be part of it. $1 million. Same again.
What are you waiting for?
Get your head in front of fox.com.au and register now. Matt and Joe's $1 million. Head in the sand. Listen to win this morning after 8.
On Melbourne's number one $1 million hit music station.
101.9 The Fox.
All right, and there's some great audio, a $1 million promo. Promo number 5, as it's labeled. I'll have all of it posted on the site. But from Matt Nikolic. Matt, thanks so much for joining the podcast, man. I really appreciate your time.
It's great to be here, man.
And I always like talking to Australia because I do feel like I'm speaking to the future. So that's always fun. There will be a delay. I'll just say that right now. There'll be a delay in our chat. So if we stumble over each other, as I've learned now from talking to multiple people across the world, that's just what we got to deal with. But again, thanks, man. Okay.
No worries, man.
So tell me, where are you right now?
Right now I'm in my studio, in South Melbourne, which is part of the radio station here, Fox FM and Triple M, which is part of Austereo.
Yep. You actually work, cause I talked to good old Konski a while back,
yes.
Who I know, obviously you, work at the same company with and you,
yep.
You know him well, but he, I believe, unless he's changed, he was working out of his house, a home studio, correct?
Yeah, he is. He's lucky like that. He lives about 40 minutes out of town here in Melbourne, and kind of up in the hills with a nice house up there. So, but we're in contact for, you know, pretty much every day. We kind of work in the same little production hub, putting stuff together for the network here. So we're in contact all the time.
And he does more for Today FM, which is Sydney. That's correct. And you focus more on Melbourne stations and the network.
Yep, that's right. So we have we've got a little hub going here, basically, where I do all the local stuff for Fox. He does all the local stuff for Sydney, and we both share B105, which is a station in Brisbane. And then we've got a third guy in the team called Dom Evans, who does Adelaide and Perth gear.
Okay. Well, I guess we can, I want to start with your background. I want to dive though, much more deep into your day-to-day routine and all of your duties in a little bit, but let's start real quick and just tell us, for those that don't know a ton about you, I will say actually right out of the gate, I had multiple people request you as an interview. So, Matt fans out there around the globe. but tell me a little bit about how you got started in radio and maybe more specifically audio production, station sound, radio imaging.
Yeah, look, do you know, I never actually planned on being a radio producer. I had this great idea when I was at high school to be a world famous rock star record producer.
Okay.
In my head, that was going to be really easy. So I went to the School of Audio Engineering here after high school, and I recorded a lot of bands and did all that sort of stuff. And then one of the teachers at the school who was also doing some audio transfer work up the road at the radio station was he got married and needed someone to fill in for him for a couple of weeks. And I came over to just do the fill in for a couple of weeks and just ended up staying because there was too many things to do pretty much.
Did you steal the poor guy's job?
I did end up with his job, but only because he was promoted.
Okay.
But yeah, so I clocked up 20 years since that happened about a month ago.
Oh wow! And you so basically you got into it not just right after high school, but as high school was concluding, and then you've been doing it ever since.
Yeah, as when school finished, I started doing the band stuff. And about a year into that, I ended up at the radio station.
Okay, so a year after. And remind me, I mean, it's not a big deal, but is high school similar there? You go till you're about 18, 17, 18?
Yeah. Okay. The end of high school, you're about 17, 18 when you get out of that, yeah.
Okay. And was that all right? I mean, I'm also assuming then that you didn't go to any sort of post high school education, university or college or anything like that?
Oh, no, that's the thing. I went from school to this place here called the School of Audio Engineering, which has schools in like a few cities around Australia and around the world.
Oh, okay.
And it's specifically designed to do audio education.
But that is, okay, because I'll be honest, they have some trade schools like that here, but, you know, people might not, I don't want to say anything bad about them, but here they're more of a shorter term, very expensive, and don't potentially do a whole lot for your career. But there, that was a good education. You're very happy with
that
decision.
Oh, well, you know, I do have to say, and I know what you're talking about, because there are a few schools like that here, which I possibly wouldn't recommend.
I was trying to say it nicely.
I know what you're trying to say, but I do have to say that I did get a good education from those guys, and I do believe that just having hired a lot of people in the past who have no theory training ever, I can recommend doing some sort of theory training because there's a lot of people out there who know how to press the buttons on Pro Tools, but they don't know how to patch something up if there's a problem, or, you know, that sort of thing.
Yep.
They have no idea about signal flow and things like that. So I do recommend doing something like that. And the School of Audio Engineering was quite a good school. Apparently these days they actually do a degree in audio engineering. And there's one other school in Melbourne, I think, that does an actual official degree.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's, you know, I guess in my past I've heard maybe more negative stories from those types of schools. But it's good to hear, you know, someone like yourself went there. Obviously, you're successful. You're very talented.
Yeah.
So
I think, well, yeah, I think you just have to choose well. And luckily at the time I did choose well.
Well, cool. So take us, I don't know, maybe to where you are now, but did you have a couple main, you know, major gigs along the way, or did you just land right there in Melbourne at Fox and the other stations right out of the gate? You know, how'd you get where you
well,
are today?
That's the lucky thing is that I never really had to do the time in the country that most people have done because I started at the Fox.
Wow.
I learned from a couple of amazing producers here, Ray Peters and Nigel Haynes here, taught me a lot. And from there, I went on to doing a couple of Australian countdown shows, which were getting syndicated around the country at the time. And from there, I moved on to Brisbane, doing commercials for a couple of years, inherited the imaging production gig up there. And then never kind of looked back. Once I was actually in charge of the imaging of the station, it was like the king job for me. So when the job came back up in Melbourne, after I'd been in Brisbane for a couple of years, when the job came back up in Melbourne, I jumped at the chance, and I've been at the Fox since then.
And how many years have you been in your current job?
I probably got back to Melbourne, I reckon it would have been about 98.
Okay.
About 98, something like that. So I've been here for 14 years, I think.
I mean, that's great. You know, not a lot of guys have that luxury where they have a great job that they get into kind of early and they, you know, get to stick there. It's cool.
That's right. And yeah, I agree. I have been very lucky.
I have a couple submitted questions that I'll be kind of injecting into this. But the one thing that I'm very curious about, you know, you already kind of touched on it, your team with Dave, David, excuse me, Konski. But tell me a little bit about the day-to-day. Now, you're actually going into, you know, the building, the official station's studio, and working. Yep. When you guys have something like this million-dollar promotion that we heard one of the promos for, you know, how many people are involved in the creativity of that? You know, how much autonomy do you have to design the sound for that? And tell me a little bit about your workflow.
I think this is part of the thing with this is the fact that I've been here for so long and they trust me with the sound of the station, but also having a program director who is a genius at what he does, and part of his genius is hiring the best people for the job and letting them do what they know how to do best rather than trying to micromanage everything. Mm-hmm. So with something like the $1 million, it's mainly I will get some scripts from a guy here named Ben Wosley, who is pretty much a genius scriptwriter. Him and I work really well together. We have done for years.
And what does he do, though? Like, what's his job at the station overall?
He's an announcer and a scriptwriter.
Okay.
And he, so he'll get a brief from the promotions people, he'll write some genius words, and then we'll, together with, the program director, we'll work out who's going to be the best voice for it. And then I just go into Creative Land and start chopping pretty much.
So essentially you get, you know, the promo team puts together whatever it's going to be, you know, a small little $1 million promotion.
just a lazy million, yeah.
Yeah, right. Some couch change they're going to hand out to the listeners. and basically it's the program director, it's you and Ben, I believe you said his name was right, the writer.
Yeah, Ben.
And that's pretty much it. I mean, otherwise from there, then it gets produced by you. It gets maybe, you know, I'm assuming some of this big stuff you'll actually play for the PD before it goes on the air. Is that true?
That's the thing. That with the big stuff, he does love to, especially if it's like one of the other promos that I've sent you, the promo number one, which is the long intro promo.
Yeah.
That's the one that we would smash for. We would smash it for probably like the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday before we kicked off, and we would hammer it every hour.
Yep.
It's big and it's long, and he loves when we do a big epic thing like that. So I would definitely play that to him first. A few years ago, he might have made a few tweaks to it or something like that. But these days, he pretty much loves most of that stuff out of the gate. So it will go to air like that. And then from Monday, we'll do the chopped down version and smash that through breakfast and then start moving on to some of the other creative.
That's just a great job benefit, having a work, you know, a system like that where you've been there long enough and what you do is pretty much trusted, blindly that you can just work, just be creative.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing is I love is about our program director is that he does trust everyone with the sound of the station. He'll pull you up if there's something that he doesn't agree with, but it's rare these days.
I meant to give people a little better feel of this before I got into this. Give me a brief overview on the landscape of Australia. You know, I believe Sydney is the biggest market. Is that true?
Sydney is the biggest market, yes. Melbourne's the second biggest market, probably followed by Brisbane, which is north of Melbourne and Sydney on the east coast of Australia. And then there's other stations. There's South Australia, and over on the west, there's a couple other stations as well.
And then, so you've got, you know, you're working for, a network of stations and then local stations. Give us an idea, you know, just in Melbourne, how big the state, you know, Fox FM, how big are they? I don't know, ratings wise or however discuss it.
Yeah. At the moment, we are the number one FM station. We rate about, I think at the moment we're rating about 12-13%. We're also, QM wise, we're also the most listened to station in Australia, at about a million. It's a bit over a million generally, listeners weekly. Sydney's rating fairly similar. I think, Today FM is rating fairly similar. The biggest station in Melbourne is actually an AM talk station, which rates slightly higher than us, but we've been consistently number one FM for a while now.
Cool. And yeah, just to give people kind of an idea, so a million QMing station is the biggest QMing station in Australia.
Yeah, there's only 20 million people here, man.
Yeah, right. No, but that's good. I mean, that's pretty solid.
Yeah, totally. It has been solid results for a while. It's a great team here at the Fox. It doesn't change a lot because everybody knows what they're doing. Everybody's an expert at what they do. So it's good to be here.
And talk about now a little more your day to day stuff. So you said I believe primarily most of your work is on Fox FM, but you mentioned other duties and tasks that you have. So tell me, like, percentage wise, what your work goes into. And then we'll go a little more into your actual day-to-day routine.
Yeah, well, most of the day is for Fox, local stuff. Well, at the moment, it seems to be that way. Although, what tends to happen is when we have network promotions, Konski and me tend to swap them around, share them up. So if he does one network promotion, which goes out everywhere for a couple of weeks, then I'll generally do the next one. So on those weeks, things, you know, the ratios will change around. But generally, yeah, it's mostly Fox. I do a few bits and pieces weekly for B105 up in Brisbane. And I also try and get out some sung intros for the stations as well, some little jingly type things, which will be a bit of network time during the week as well.
That station in Brisbane, I was just curious, is there not an imaging person there? Is it just a company station and they want their best talent doing it? Or is there somebody there actually doing the imaging also?
They have a guy whose main focus is breakfast.
Okay.
So it will, in this network, most breakfast shows have their own dedicated producer. And the guy in Brisbane is mainly their brekkie producer. So they had an imaging guy up until recently, but then they decided me and Konski will take over.
Okay, so now day to day, are you pretty much in the studio producing most of your time? Do you do a lot of writing? Are you doing a lot of voicing? What all do you do?
No, I don't do any writing. I just basically because Benny's way better at it than I am. There's no point in getting me to do it. I don't know what it is about writing. I'm not great at coming up with the ideas for the scripts, but once the script is in front of me, I can edit the hell out of it. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. I totally know what you mean.
Yeah. So I love to get Benny to write the scripts, and then once they're actually in front of me, I might do a slight edit before they're voiced, but generally it comes down to how it feels when I'm actually putting it together. There can be some big changes once it comes to actually producing it.
And what about you? Do you do a lot of voiceover?
No, I hate the sound of my voice on the air. So I try and keep myself off the air as much as possible. I put myself to air in other markets every now and then, but I hate hearing myself on the
Just
Fox.
Just so you don't have to hear it?
Yeah, exactly. I don't mind if it's elsewhere.
I like to try and get into this whenever possible, but you've been in the business now, you know, a long time at a very high level. But, you know, you mentioned that you went to the audio engineering school.
Yeah.
But what else have you done or do you do to learn and develop your skills and to, you know, make yourself better?
In terms of ideas for furthering my production and stuff, most of that will come from listening to music. I like to go to Beatport and just get a bunch of tunes every now and again. If they've got a breakdown that gives me an idea or something like that, even if I don't actually use the song in anything, sometimes it will give me an idea of how to edit later, a way to do an edit later on. Movie trailers, I get a lot of ideas from that as well. That's probably the main sources, I'd say.
You've got some great, you obviously can, you know your way around a delay plugin, for example. You know, how did you really learn how to put delay on stuff properly and make it sound great? Is it just tinkering with the plugs? Do you have tutorials? Do you have people that you go to for help?
No, I think it's just feeling it. I kind of look at things like that as like making a song. And you've just got to kind of feel your way through it. I have been most definitely gravitating lately towards using not analog gear, but plugins that do some analog emulations. I find that they kind of just gel with everything a little bit better. Yeah, and it's really just a matter of feeling your way through it. I'll hear it. I generally hear something like a big delay effect of some description. I will generally hear it in my head first and then go for a way to make it. Grid mode helps a lot with that as well.
Yeah. Let me pause and play these custom intros you sent me. They're great. They incorporate your jingles into the music. Let me play a few of these real quick.
Hit it.
Check 1, 2. That little Chico Pitbull. I got my radio on.
Hey, what's cracking, everybody? This is your boy Neo.
Me not working hard. Yeah, right. Picture that with a Kodak.
Hi, this is David Guetta.
What's up, y'all? I'm Nicki Minaj. What?
Our next guest is a talented singer, songwriter from Australia.
Hi, Australia, this is Sia.
What it is, it's your boy Flo Rida. Just put your hands in the air. Hey, yeah.
She's a goddess. Katy Perry.
Hi, this is Katy Perry.
I'm sexy and I know.
Hey, it's me. Mason Derulo.
101.9. If you're listening to my favorite radio station,
Fox of Fox.
Check that out, what they playing.
Give it up one more time for hip-hop superstar Drake.
101.9. Hi, it's Rihanna here.
This your boy Drake.
The Fox. No, you've been hurt.
Those are great. Obviously, they sound like they take quite a bit of time. My first question, though, is, the sings are very customized. Are you producing those sings? Do you have the vocalists come in every time you want to do a new one? Yeah.
So I have a session with Susie once every week or two.
Okay.
And we'll generally knock out two or three of those in a session. We've also got it. Once we've done the version, we usually actually start with the Today FM version. Once we've done that, we have six other stations to make versions for. So once we've got the idea of the melody and how all the harmonies and parts are going to work, then we bump it out to all the other stations as well.
Now,
actual editing of them later on takes quite a bit of time as well.
Are you using those to brand new songs or like powers? You know, what primarily are you using those for?
Well, Konski does intros for pretty much every new song, which we call them freshies, which to say that this is this song is fresh to the station, and then he does a whole bunch of other versions that are branded at the front. Once it's gone beyond the point where the song is fresh, I think that's when the music directors generally move on to these ones. So they're more not for enormously new songs. They're kind of more recurrent songs.
Okay. Yeah. That's kind of what I thought. So obviously, like we already said, you're putting a lot of time into them. Are you pretty much told which songs you're going to be making those for each week by the PD?
Music director. Yeah, I just pop up there and say, I've got Susie coming in, give me some songs, and he'll give me about five or six songs. We'll make two or three intros out of the songs that work best with a sung thing on it.
I was going to say, so I'm sure you stumble across some of those that are very easy. You can hear the station sing, you can hear the slogan, you can hear it. But then there's some that you stumble into that are probably extremely difficult. Do you ever do you ever just say no, or do you make it work every time, no matter what?
You know what? Most of the time, we'll make it work. Every now and again, there's a song that's so annoying that you just don't even want to go there. But it's generally...
You don't happen to have an example by chance, do you? Do you have one that sticks out that you were like, you know what? I ain't doing that.
I'd have to open the session. I think there was a couple of Gaga ones that we can't do it. It's just too annoying. But then, having said that, we have also made a couple of Gaga ones that were sort of semi successful. So it just kind of depends on how you feel on the day.
Yeah. Those are great. I think that people have been making branded intros, custom intros, forever. But it always that's going to spark other people's creativity. Hearing different ways you can merge your own sing, and you're not using. Yeah. you know, vocalist, that's pretty much the exact same vocalist. I think you called her Susie. That's
Susie, yeah. It's the same girl every time, yeah.
Yeah, and so you don't need to get, you know, sound-alikes to make those sound great and merge into the music.
No, no, not at all. She's an amazing singer. She's there's a guy here named Michael Painter who is a local musician, a local celebrity type. Our program director discovered Susie in his backing band at a gig one night and just asked her to come in and see what would happen. And she just ended up being amazing. She's great at doing a harmony and all that sort of stuff. So the best thing, if you want to do that type of stuff, you've just got to find someone who you work really well with and mm-hmm. just keep on slogging away.
I honestly can't remember. Do you have a full-blown jingle package that you run on Fox FM?
No, we've done that in the past. We've had some packages that I think came from London and stuff like that, but not for quite a few years now. It just doesn't quite sit right on our station.
Why is that?
I don't know, man. For some reason, for everyone, every time we've done a big jingle package, apart from the summer jingle, we used to do a summer jingle every year or two. Which would just be a package that would be as fun as possible that we would do over summer. And we used to put that together ourselves. I did those ones. But then every now and again, we get a package from outside the station and it just never quite sat right. It mm-hmm. kind of always just rung the cheese alarm a little bit. So we've never really gone back to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another interesting thing where there's definitely a line in the sand. You know, some people are hardcore. Yes, I will use jingles, and some people are like, they just don't work.
Yeah, me and Dave, the program director, seem to be pretty much of the same mind about where the line is for cheese factor on the station, and we both kind of agree that it's not quite right.
But you do find a way to get the sing injected on the station with those intros.
Yep.
So
yeah,
it still keeps the station very very musical. So that's good.
Yes. It just means a whole lot more work because it's a different freaking jingle for every song. So
yeah.
The Producers